Welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis, Journey to Butterfly. I'm First off, I want to say Happy Halloween. We have made it all the way to October 31st. Yay! It seems like this has been the longest year ever. So, congratulations everyone for making it to October. And for staying safe, staying healthy during this pandemic. I know that it has been a trying and challenging time all throughout the world. So I hope that everyone is staying safe, staying healthy, and most of all, keeping a positive attitude, which I know is hard at this point as well. I did want to touch upon something I talked about last episode, which was self-esteem, body image, all of that. It's something that I know affects a lot of us, especially when it's our time of the month and we're having endo belly, which can be any time of the month and or all the time. But something that I was thinking about in terms of endo belly and just self-image and all of that is it made me think about one of the reasons that I really don't like online shopping. Maybe I mentioned it last time. It made me think about one of the reasons I don't like online shopping. I know that a lot of women and men, I know men like it as well, like online shopping. I am not an online shopper. I love to feel the clothes. I love to try on the clothes. Like to see how they look, all of that. Honestly, I don't like my time wasted. I like to go in the dressing room, but I don't like my time wasted. I don't like having to go back to the stores to return something that did not fit because I have to stand in line again to return the item. Like, I had to stand in line to buy it. I just feel like it's counterintuitive. I have to waste time to go back to that store. Maybe that store is not near my house. Maybe I was had an appointment or ran an errand, or maybe I was just over there. So then I gotta go back to wherever that store is, and maybe that's some store that is crowded, or maybe they have a short return period. So sometimes, you know, you may not be able to get back there in the return period. So if you use your credit or cash or whatever, then maybe you're outside that period, a return period, and maybe you have to get a store credit, which is retarded, and all of that. But the pandemic has made in-person shopping, as I realized, like online shopping. I can go in the store and touch and feel the clothes, but I can't try them on. So I have to try to figure out what size I would wear. You know, will this fit me? Will it not fit me? Will it look good? Will it not look good? And if not, then take it back. But I do have to say, I have bought some clothes lately, and for the most part, I have done pretty well in not having, and I haven't had to take many clothes back. I would say I've done, I'd probably say out of the clothes and different things I've bought, probably 80% of them have fit, probably 80%. Things I've taken a few things back just because I haven't liked how they fit or how they looked, but I've kept more probably overall than I've probably kept more overall than I've taken back. A few stores have their dressing rooms open, so that's probably helped as well. But of the ones that haven't, I probably, if I add up everything, it's probably been about 80% that I. But which is pretty good. And one of the things, pants is the hardest thing to fit. So I was happy that I found a pair of pants, didn't get to try them on, and they actually fit. So that was actually a win. So online shopping and in-person shopping have actually on some level turned into the same thing, since you can't try anything on. But one of the other things that it made me, honestly, the whole shopping thing, made me realize that there are certain things, even something as simple as shopping, something I like to do. I like to go shopping. I like to go in-person shopping. But something as simple as shopping in person, at this point, has been changed on some level. We don't know. Honestly, it could be changed forever. What if we can't go back in the dressing rooms? What if we always have to try? What if we always have to buy clothes and bring them home and try them on and then take them back to the stores? Like a lot of the stores, like I asked when I was at the store earlier in the week, I asked, you know, what is your return policy? Because a lot of places, their return policy, you know, they have, I don't know, 30 days or whatever it may be. And I asked, you know, what is your return policy and all of that? And a lot of the stores have had to change their return policy. And she's like, you know, we don't have an actual return policy. You know, you can return your clothes, you know, that don't fit, you know, as long as you keep your receipt. So that's the flexibility the stores are having to make. They're having to accept our returns as long as we keep our receipts. So we're having to hold on to a receipt. Little piece of paper. Piece of paper that if it gets wet, it gets destroyed. So make sure, you know, we keep it. Okay, I keep my receipt. I try to keep my receipt in the same spot. You've got to be very careful in the purse, even prior to this pandemic. A lot of us are keeping sanitizer, right? Oh, one time sanitizer got on a receipt. Actually, this is way before the pandemic. Oh, it ruined that receipt. So, you know, we've got to keep up with our receipts, keep it away from, you know, our sanitizer. And honestly, they have sanitizer right there at the register, so please, you know, be mindful of that. If you, and I think honestly that's what happened on some level, is I was trying to sanitize my hands because something the cashier did or something, and I was trying not to put the receipt in my purse or touch or something, and then I had sanitizer on my hand, touched the receipt, and of course rubbed some of it off. So that's something to be mindful of. But it lets me know we've got to be flexible, or we've had to change, honestly, a lot of things that we used to do prior to the pandemic. We've all had to be flexible. And change is not always easy for us. But it started making me think about us as Indo warriors. Endometriosis has changed our lives in many different ways. Some ways we're not even aware of, honestly. There are some ways our lives have been changed, honestly, we may not be consciously aware of, because we may not know all of the changes that our body has gone through. You know, physically, it may have gone through some things physically. We may not be aware of, you know, on a molecular level, how it's changed our body. We can't see that. We know how it's affected us mentally, physically, as we've seen. Know the other day on Facebook, there was something. Honestly, it relates to business, but I thought about us as Indo warriors again. It asks about, you know, being a business owner. How much and what have you sacrificed to be a business owner? And being a business owner, depending on what type of business you have, you sacrifice a lot. And for me, the fall was like my busiest time doing shows and events and everything. So I personally, my response is, you know, I've sacrificed a lot of going out, having fun, sacrifice, you know, dating, relationships, different things like that. But thinking about it, we as introverts have sacrificed those same things. How many times have we sacrificed going out because we're having an endo flare? Or we just don't feel well? The week has tired us out. Or we just, you know, our bodies, we just don't feel well. How many times have we not dated or gone on a date for various reasons? Not feeling well. Our body's acting up. I know I have. I have on many occasions for many different things. You know, I have avoided many things due to endometriosis, honestly. We just give up so much. And most people don't know why, or don't understand why, or know the sacrifices that we truly make. Even if you explain it to them, they still truly do not understand the magnitude of the sacrifices that have been made. When you just, I don't know, when I sit here and think about sacrifices made based on endometriosis, honestly, I've got to be honest, I didn't know officially, I guess I should say, that I had endometriosis. I mean, I knew unofficially. I didn't get diagnosed until, you know, last August, but I first heard the word endometriosis, the doctor officially, or I guess, first time I officially heard the word was back in 2005, but, so that was always in the back of my mind that that was what I had, but I officially didn't know. But if you think about that, if you think about just all the time that I've had the symptoms, I've had the issues, I've had this, that, and the other, and just not knowing exactly what it was, not getting the relief, not getting the just not knowing, and just all of the things that you go through with endometriosis, and all the things you avoid, honestly, it's like, it's very sad. So it's like you, I feel like you lose, and I'm speaking for myself personally, I just feel like I have lost so much time and so many experiences and different things based on not knowing for sure, or not getting the right treatment or help that I needed, if that makes sense. Help with endometriosis in terms of surgery to try to remove it. Or if we knew, you know, that I had bowel endometriosis, you could have sent me to an endometriosis specialist. So, I mean, help in terms of going to the right doctors, help like that. Treatment as in terms of getting surgery to get it removed. Or trying to find, you know, I don't want to take medicine, but I'm open to homeopathic medicine, or going to different types of doctors, or trying different types of things. So I mean, things like that. So that's honestly, wow. So it's like you just lose so much time, honestly. The average woman isn't diagnosed for 8 to 10 years. 8 to 10 years of your life that you don't know that you have endometriosis. 8 to 10 years that you're not getting treatment, you're not getting help. You aren't getting, I guess I should say, you're not getting the treatment or help to help with your symptoms to get surgery to remove it. You're probably getting birth control pills, which is hurting it, making it grow more, which is masking the symptoms. It's not helping you to feel better. You're not getting your options in terms of having it removed, doing this and that. So that's just 8 years of your life that you are probably suffering either silently or out loud, that you can never get back. That's just a long time. I mean, 8 years, think of all the things, you know, you can do and all of that. That's just really, really sad. We need a treatment. We need a cure. We need a better way to figure this out. What we are doing at this point is not working. It's not working for any of us. It's not working for us. It's not working for people, you know, it's not working for past generations. It's not working for the future generations. It's just not working. This is not going away. 176 million people worldwide have it. Now, that's people who have been diagnosed. It takes 8 to 10 years to get diagnosed. Now, we have to account, there are plenty of people. I know there are. There are plenty of people who have these symptoms that have not been officially diagnosed by a doctor. Meaning, they have never had a laparoscopic procedure. It is not documented in their medical chart that they have endometriosis, so they are not counted in the 176 million people. I know that there are. What is the count? I don't know exactly what the count is, but if the count for people who are diagnosed is 1 in 10, then there is more. I assume that the count is more than 1 in 10 if there are people who are undiagnosed. I know that there are. There are people who I talk to who they have the symptoms and this and that. They just have not been officially diagnosed. They have, you know, different things, different symptoms, all of that. And, you know, they're like, or they have one or two things, but they have never been officially diagnosed for endometriosis. You know, they, you know, on some level, there is a high percentage, a high chance that they have it. They just have not been officially diagnosed. And sometimes the only reason, and I say this when I talk to people, I say this in my, when I'm speaking on stage, I say it all the time, the only reason, and I say it on here, the only reason I got officially diagnosed was because there was nothing left for the doctor to do. There were no other options. The options were gone. The last option, her only option left, was to do laparoscopic procedure. All the other options had been exhausted. Everything else had been tried. Nothing was left. We had gone through all of the tests. I had tried the birth control. We had done that. We'd done CTs, ultrasounds, all of that. All of these tests had been done. All of this. Nothing else was left. Nothing else could be on the table. There was no other test she could eat. There was no other test, honestly, she could order. What test was left? There was no other test to order. There was no, honestly, if she could have, she probably would have given me another birth control pill. Honestly, there was, I wasn't going to take birth control, and honestly, there probably really wasn't any other birth control that she could try, because one of them that she tried, that they wanted to do, they couldn't do it. they were successful in it. So, I mean, what other birth control are you going to do? I mean, honestly, I feel like surgery was her only option. She didn't have any other options. So that is the only reason that I was diagnosed after 14 years was surgery was the only option. She did not, I feel like she didn't have any other choices. If I had to go to ER and basically had to, in a nice way, request an appointment sooner and came to her with severe pain and said, I don't go to ER with severe pain like this, da da da. I don't know, honestly, I don't know the last time prior to having to go to ER twice in 2 years, like I had to go last year, this year, having real bad ovary pain. Prior to that, I don't know the last time, honestly, I went to ER. I don't like going to ER, honestly. I can't tell you the last time I went to ER was, I hurt my foot, I guess, like years ago. Like, I probably haven't been, the last time I probably went to ER was probably, mid-2000s, something like that. I'm not somebody who goes to ER. I hate going to ER. It's, like, the worst to me. It's, like, a whole black hole waste of time. So, I'm not somebody who likes to go. So, for me to have to go to ER is, like, I'm pissed off. It's, like, the worst ever. It's, like, 4 hours of wasted time that I can't get back. They can't get an IV in my arm. So, it's, like, what is the point of going? Just not. So, you know, for me to have to go to ER and all of this stuff, you know, she figured she had to do something, and surgery was pretty much what she had to do, is how that works. So when I tell you I hadn't been, you know, probably my diagnosis, I probably hadn't been to ER since around the same time. Probably I heard them mention endometriosis is probably. I don't go to ER like that. Been to urgent care before, but I am not someone who likes to go to the emergency room. I just don't. So that's the only reason. So if that's the case, then I can only assume that a lot of other women have it, and they're just, you know, medicine is, you know, the option that is being given to them, and maybe their medicine is working well for them and they're not having any issues, so medicine is fine and that's what they're on. And, you know, if that's what you want to take, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do birth control and all that if it's working well for you. My complaint with birth control is that it's masking your symptoms and it's not helping you. I feel like it's a band-aid. Like, if I cut myself, then I put a band-aid on to cover up and stuff, try to stop the bleeding. Now, when I take the band-aid off, of course, the cut is still there. Hopefully, the bleeding has stopped. Sometimes it has, maybe sometimes it hasn't, but the scar is still there. So the band-aid did not stop the scar from being there. It covered it up so I don't see it, which is what I think birth control does. It makes me forget that I have endometriosis in terms, because I'm not having any issues, because I'm not having a period. Or if I'm having a period, it's really light. If I'm not having a period, then I guess part of the problem is, if I'm not having a period, then I'm not having those symptoms, because I'm not having bad cramps, because the egg didn't come down, and I'm not having the inflammation, all this, which makes me kind of forget that I have period problems, because I'm not having a period. But that's my whole thing. I know it works for some people. Some people like taking the medicine. I'm not one who likes taking the medicine. Also, it causes a lot of side effects. Some side effects, they don't know for some of the new medicines. And that's just my personal opinion. Everyone, you know, has their own opinion about it. But that's just how I feel about it. And I don't feel like it's something that should be pushed on people as the end-all, be-all. There are other things you can try, other methods, all of that. So, I feel like, with all of that to say, just thinking about all the things that we have lost in terms of time, being into warrior, time, you know, not feeling well, all of that, then it makes me think about, you know, I talked about we've got to change things and all the things that have to change. It came to the realization about, honestly, the pandemic. Everything, you know, we are, the pandemic, you know, everything's changing. And it's something that, you know, we are not in control of. And we have, on some level, we as Endo warriors kind of relate to that. Endo has changed our lives in ways that we can't control. And we have to adjust to that. And I know that, honestly, this pandemic, honestly, I feel like with us having Endo and all of that, I know it's been hard for us. In terms of a lot of different ways. So, I know that a lot of the things that we have done probably have not been available to us doing Endo. A lot of things that we enjoy, self-care. Man, even going to the doctor is not like it used to be. So, it's probably really stressful, and stress, you know, is not good for Endo. It can cause more problems and all of that. So, I really, really, really implore you, and this is something that I need to do, and that's honestly how it came about, all of this. Honestly, I feel like we need to get back to doing something that makes us happy, that we enjoy. Now, we know, because I've talked about it on various occasions, I like being outside, walking. I like walking. I like doing, you know, we talked about 5K, 10K. You know, did a couple virtual 10Ks this year. Was really excited, you know, about that and all and that. But with different things going on, I did a handful of virtual races this year, this spring and summer. So I was doing that, and that was keeping me busy. Well, I have not done a virtual race in a while, and you know, it's something that I miss. And you know, I live somewhere that we have seasons, which is good and bad. I hate winter. I hate snow, ice. Don't like layering. Don't like being cold. Don't like any of it. I really want to move somewhere warm where it doesn't snow. So if you have suggestions of any of those places, please let me know. But when it gets cold outside, I don't want to go outside for a walk. I have to wear a billion layers, I feel like. And it's just not fun for me. I'm a girl who likes to be warm. I don't like to wear layers. So I feel like if I have to go walking in the winter, I've got to wear my thermals. I got to, you know, wear thermals. Then I got to wear my, so I've got my thermals on. Then I have to wear my second layer, which is, you know, a long sleeve top and then sweatpants. And then depending on how cold it is, then on top of that, I either have to wear a hoodie and or a coat, right? And then, you know, hopefully your tennis shoes or whatever, but or depending on how cold it is, you know, one or two layers of socks, and that's just annoying. Or if it's really cold, you know, maybe you have to wear a hoodie and a light coat, and that's just too much. And then you might get warm when you're out there walking, and then you got to take it off and hold it, and it's just the whole ordeal. And you're not trying to get sick anyway. You're not trying to get sick because it's a pandemic, but you're not trying to get sick anyway. So it's like you're not trying to, like, I'm not trying to get anything. Like, I'm not trying to run out in the cold and not be well insulated and get a cold or anything. So it's like, that's why I'm like, you've got to wear it, layer up and all of that stuff. So I'm like not taking any chances. But, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm not even getting to do, you know, simple things that I like that. Because I felt like going for, you know, walking, you know, okay, so since I did 5Ks and 10Ks, whenever I'd go for a walk, I would at least, a 5K is 3.1 miles. So, when I would go for a walk, my walk was no less than 3.1 miles when I went out. Every time. Like, constantly, like a walk, like if I'm gonna go for a walk today, it's gonna be 3.1 miles or more. I don't go for a walk for less than 3 miles at this point. So, you know, that's my time to decompress, listen to music, and just, you know, just be alone, not worry about anything, just, you know, just have fun, I guess you could say, and just, you know, be present or whatever. So that's my thing, and it's like I really miss it. So, you know, I have, you know, so I'm like, it is basically, well, it's the end of October, so tomorrow's next week. So I decided that I'm gonna do it. This might be the last one, I don't know. We'll see. But I said I wanted to do at least one more virtual 5K this year. So I did sign up to do one next weekend. So we'll see how it goes. Haven't been on a walk in a while, so it'll be interesting. But I am looking forward to it. And it just made me sit here and think about all the things that we love to do and haven't been able to do for various reasons. One reason is the pandemic. And all of that is just, it's just been hard, I guess is one word. But it's just been a unique and different year. And I just feel like on some level, we need to do some things that we've done before. Some of the things are the same. Some of them are different. Like, I feel like walking and all of that exercising is something I really need to do because I'm a thinker. And that just helps me clear my mind, honestly. But I mean, there are just so many other things that, you know, we haven't done that we have, just for different reasons. Like, I don't, honestly, I don't feel like I went out much before, and I surely don't go out much now. Like, I talked about going, like, I like to go shopping. I rarely go to the mall, go to the store at this point. I have had to go just because needed new pants, honestly, and needed some things. Just go, honestly, when I need some things is how it is. So that's how that works out. So I'm not going like I used to go. And there are, you know, various factors in terms of that. But it's like, honestly, I don't need anything at this point. When I go, I just go when I need something or if I have to take something back. But it's just like enjoying little things that you like to do. Like, I would really, like, I have not been, and it just makes you think of all the things, you know, that you enjoy that you can get back to. Like, I really enjoy reading and need to get back to that as well. But it's like I've been so busy, like, with doing other things that I haven't gotten to do that, and I need to get back to that. And it just makes me realize that you really need to do what you enjoy and make time for things that you enjoy. And I also, one of the things that I enjoy that I have been doing this year, even though we're in a pandemic, because it's all been virtually, is I love speaking. It's just so amazing. And I am excited and blessed that I have been able to still do some speaking events virtually, even though all the other speaking events have gotten canceled. Some of them have been virtual. Some of the ones I was supposed to do have turned virtual. Some of them just canceled altogether. And I found some new ones. So, you know, I basically tell the people some of the same things I tell you about advocating for yourself, advocating for your health. So that's what I'm working on this weekend is I'm working, you know, I always like to write out my speech, perfect it, even though I've given it, like to, you know, make sure this perfect perfectionist. So that's, you know, my Halloween fun or my fun for the next week, you know, getting my speech perfected and everything else like that, because I'm a featured speaker at this big speaking event next weekend, so I'm very excited. Also very honored about it, so that's what I will be doing. Love talking about advocating for yourself and your health. That is so important. And I feel like it is so timely, especially during this pandemic, about just, oh my gosh, it's just amazing that some people, it's not amazing, I guess I say, it's amazing I get to share my story with so many people, but it's just mind-blowing that some people don't exercise their voice, their right to advocate for themselves. If you know something's wrong, speak up. I mean, you know your body better than your doctor does. Your doctor, yes, my doctor can look at my medical chart and see that I have endometriosis or this and that, but that doesn't mean they can tell me how I feel. You know, my vitals, you know, honestly, maybe my vitals look good, but maybe I feel like crap, or maybe my vitals look bad, and I feel wonderfully. I mean, you don't know. So, I mean, that just doesn't tell the whole story. So you've got to speak up and keep track of how long your symptoms have been going on and what they are, when they started. Are they different than what you normally have? Like, I had, and let your doctor know, like, I had I don't know what was going on, I still don't know what's going on, but back in March, I want to say, and I think I talked about it, just like back in March, from March to May, which it ended up in me having to go to the ER, I had my period issues. My period was just painful and different, and it was something, I don't know, something funky was going on with it. I don't know exactly what was up with it, but it had been fine, and then in March, it was kind of funky, and I'm like, there's something different about it. I do keep track of my periods, and if there's something different, unique, whatever, I know when they're coming, how long they last, you know, if I have cramps, still have cramps sometimes. I have cramps. I know, you know, they're normally a day or two. Different things like that. Keep track of it. And, you know, to see what my pattern is. And these periods, March was the first one, and it was like not my normal cycle period. Things were happening. I'm like, okay. So I wrote it down. Things happened before. Things happened after. Just wasn't feeling the greatest. Continued in April. Didn't get any better. And then May. May didn't get any better. It got worse. Ended up having to go to the ER. So, you know, during that time, I called my doctor. And, of course, you know, OBGYN's a specialist. So the specialists really weren't seeing patients. Even if you were an established patient with them, they weren't seeing patients for some reason at this point. I think they were seeing maternity patients, I think is all they were seeing. Unless you got a referral from your regular doctor, so you know. So I'm like, okay, so I had an appointment with my regular doctor, you know, she knows my history, whatever, I've been seeing her for a while. And, you know, I told her there's something going on with my periods. I wrote everything down because I'm detail-oriented like that and kept track. And I'm like, you know, this, and this is wrong. This is normally what they're, my peers are normally this, and this. This is what's different. I don't know what's going on with it. Last month they were fine. I can't think of anything I've done different this month, but this is what's going on. And, you know, all of this. She's like, okay, well, I don't know. But, we can, you know, she's like, I'll send a referral over so you can talk to OBGYN. And I'm like, thank you, I appreciate it. Well, I didn't get to talk to OBGYN, I don't think, until April. So by then, I had had my second one, so it was like that 2 months in a row or whatever. So, you know, I'm like, I've been having this for 2 months and all this. And you know, she's like, well, you know, they're like, they try to tell you, you know, your cycles change and things happen. Okay, I guess things happen with your cycle, but they normally don't ramp up like that, but I guess it's part of, you know, I guess endometriosis or whatever, but they try to tell you those things happen, da da da. Well, anyway, we get to May, gets worse, different things happen. I end up going to the ER. So, of course, after, you know, ER visit, of course, now the doctor wants to see me in person, right? Because maybe there is something wrong because she went to ER. But, you know, since I went to ER, basically they ran all the tests and did all the stuff. So, when I went to the doctor, then she's like, ER already ran all the tests and, you know, did everything and all of that. And basically, I guess it was another cyst, but, you know, again, they tell me cysts can't be painful, although cysts have sent me to the ER 2 years in a row, so they are painful, obviously, but my point in saying all that is, you know what is going on with your body, you know what's wrong with it. I, you know, obviously, you can tell me all day that cysts aren't painful, but obviously they are. There's something going on. The cyst that I've been getting the last, I'm gonna go with 2 years, something's going on with the cyst in my body. Maybe they're not painful for everyone, but they're painful for me. So we can't make a blanket statement that cysts aren't painful. Maybe they're not painful for everyone, but some of your patients, they're painful. So you can't discount the ones who say it, that it is painful. Everyone's body is different. Just like, I know for a fact, I haven't felt it in a while. I don't know if I felt it honestly since I've had my surgery, but I used to feel it, and they tell me you can't feel it, but I know for a fact that I used to feel my egg. I felt it coming down the fallopian tube on some. I would feel some pain, and I felt like that was my egg coming down the fallopian tube. It would happen once a month, and I would feel it. Mainly, I would just feel it on one side, and it is very weird. It's a very strange pain, and I'm told you can't feel it, but I know I felt it. Otherwise, what would it be in that particular place? On my side, right there by where your ovary is. It's a very weird feeling, but I was told you can't feel it. Whatever. I know what I felt. And all of this. So, I guess my main point is, you know your body better than anyone else. It's your body. You know what you feel. If you feel something and you know something's not right, don't let the doctor discount what you're saying. If the doctor discounts what you're saying, don't be afraid to get a second opinion or to change doctors. I've changed doctors before. If you're not going to listen to me or take my complaint seriously, then I don't need to be your patient, is how I feel about it. My health is too important to play around with. You get one life. I'm not going to play around with it by being a patient of someone who does not believe me or does not take my pain seriously. I'm not someone who sits there and complains about things aren't serious to me. Like, if I tell, like, I don't go to the doctor for every little thing. So if I go to the doctor and have complaints for you, then I have dates, symptoms, all of that to back it up. I'm very detail oriented. I have a list when I go to the doctor. So I'm not going to the doctor just to go to the doctor, if that makes sense. So if I'm going to the doctor with, I have endometriosis symptoms, I'm going to tell you they've lasted for 2 weeks. I've had I did have endo belly symptoms for like 2 months. I've had endo belly symptoms. They've lasted from such and such, like from January 1st to March 25th. And the bloating has not gone away. It doesn't matter what I've done. I have not eaten anything different. I have not added any new medications. I have not changed anything. I have not added any new vitamins. I have not done anything differently. My periods are the same. All of this stuff. Have you? And it's like, you know, you can say all this other stuff. And it's like, I'm not sure what it is. Do you have any other pains and symptoms? No, just have the endo belly. It's very painful. And it makes, you know, it's like my stomach hurts more after bowel movements since I've been having more bloating with my endo. So if you come to your doctor if you come to your doctor with all your information and you have dates, times, you can tell them this is different, da da da, and you have all of that, then you can get things done. If that's not the case, then I suggest you get a second opinion or get a different doctor. Now, with endo, a lot of doctors may not be familiar with how it is. And that's how it is. I'm not saying it's good or bad, that's just how it is. Even a lot of OBGYNs, yes, endometriosis is a women's quote-unquote disease, so OBGYN should be able to help you, but that doesn't mean that it's per se their specialty. I mean, they know some things about it, but it doesn't mean that necessarily all of them are the best ones for it. I mean, they'll still prescribe pills and different things like that, but they may not always be per se. Like, they do general OBGYN, so they're there for, like, all of the different things. I feel like, and I've been told, if you have endometriosis, you really need to go to an endometriosis specialist. It's kind of like with any other disease, different things, you go to a specialist. Like if you have like anything, you go to the specialist of what it is. Like if you have trying to think of what a good example is of going through that, then you go to, like, if you have a like, for example, if someone has cancer, they go to the oncology doctor. If someone has diabetes, they go to the endocrinologist. If someone has asthma, they go to the pulmonologist. So you go to people who specialize in what you have. So if you have endometriosis, if possible, you should try to go to an endometriosis specialist, because that's what they specialize in. That is their specialty. They are more up to date on what's going on with endometriosis. They are more in tune with what the symptoms and different things are. And it's just a better overall fit. Like if you, I don't know, my thing is just, I would rather go, I appreciate everything that the doctors do, but if I have a certain symptom, if I have a certain disease, I want to go to the specialist, the best of the best, the top. That's what I want to go to. I am in line to go. I'm waiting impatiently for my appointment to go see a endometriosis specialist. I can't wait to hear what they're going to say. And just try to figure out what we can do about bowel endometriosis, because it's very annoying, honestly. And just figure out what we can get going. And I can't wait to take you guys on my journey with me, but that's probably my endometriosis specialist journey. Probably is not going to be that we are going to, I'm probably not going to be able to talk about that episode. I'm not even going to talk about that on episodes probably until the end of the year, the beginning of next year. So that's future episodes, not anytime soon. But I can talk about some other things. That I'm doing in previous episodes, just not the endometriosis specialist, because that appointment's not coming up until late in the year, so that's why. But I do have exciting things to talk about in upcoming episodes of things that I'm excited about. Really, really excited about this upcoming speaker event next week. It's a very big honor to be a featured speaker and be speaking about advocating. It's all about getting my message out and educating people, and that's what I try to do on this podcast as well as in my projects. And speaking, I always try to get the word out about endometriosis and advocating for yourself, because I feel like everyone should know about endometriosis. And but advocating for yourself, endometriosis affects so many women and so many people, and it's something we should talk about. And I don't want there to be a stigma associated with endometriosis, so I do my best to get the word out whenever I can, as often as I can. So I've been hearing from some people that want to talk about endometriosis, so I feel like that is amazing. Hoping to have some guests on soon, so that'll be amazing. You don't have to just hear me talk about it. And I have some fun things in the works. So I am glad that you tuned in to this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I know we talked about a lot of different things on this week's episode, and I'm glad that you tuned in. And I want to say hello to all my new listeners from all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. And again, I do this podcast to bring awareness to endometriosis and educate, and I appreciate all of you listening. Again, if there's ever a topic you want to talk about or you ever want to be a guest, drop me an email and let me know. Feel free to reach out. I'm also trying to set up a page on Facebook, so when I get that all set up, I will drop that link below and we can be connected there. And until next time, our next episode is Saturday, November 14th at 12:45 Central Standard Time. Until then, stay safe, be happy, hopefully have some fun, and get back to something that you used to. I can't wait to hear what you're up to. Hope you have a safe and happy Halloween and do something fun for yourself. Do some self-care this weekend and make it a great day. I will talk to you soon and thank you very much. Bye.